today as we come to the table.
Expect the world to sin. They're sinners. You've been forgiven. You know better now. Now you be a witness to them, and don't try to make them live the way you live. Simply show them how and be that example. Daniel did it. How many times have we seen Christians trying to force the Bible on the unbelievers around them? And I think oftentimes it's well-meaning young Christians like I have done in the past. And you try to basically, push, the Bible on people that can't really receive the Bible because they don't even know God. And all this typically does is drive people away from the gospel. But if you simply shine the light and you live it and then you make the stands at the right times, it draws people in.
Do your non-Christian friends and coworkers know that you're a Christian because of the things you do and don't do? Maybe they notice that you don't use foul language or get drunk. Maybe they've seen your work ethic and generosity. In today's text, we see that Daniel had good judgment and strong convictions to be a faithful witness. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. Today, Pastor Mark teaches you that, like Daniel, you must let your actions reflect your love and faithfulness to Jesus. Living in a secular culture, it's easy to compromise your faith and go with the flow of what everyone else is doing. Today, take a stand to be a faithful witness to God instead of conforming to the world. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Daniel, chapter 1, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
If you have your Bibles, let's open them up to Daniel chapter 1. As we finish the first chapter of Daniel, looking at verses 9 through 21 today, and we're going to read verse 8 first and then pray, kind of lay that groundwork and remember where we left off last week. Notice what it says in verse 8 of chapter 1 of Daniel. It says, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine with which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself." Father, we thank you, Lord, for Daniel's stand. But we don't just thank you for Daniel's stand. We thank you, Lord, for the way that Daniel made his stand. And Lord, as we look at this today, I pray you would teach us that we need to make stands at proper times in life, but the way we do it is just as important as the stand that we make. And so we do ask you would instruct us. And Lord, you would teach us how to do that. We look forward to how you're going to show us, Lord, the way that you gave Daniel wisdom to navigate what he was facing. And we're trusting, God, you give us wisdom to navigate what we are facing as well. And Lord, all because Daniel was faithful. And so we pray, God, you would teach us to be faithful and you would make us faithful followers of you that can walk in that reward. So open your word to us today, God. We look forward to what you have for us in Daniel chapter 1. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, today we look at the reward of the faithful, and that is, Daniel was very faithful. Last week, remember we left off looking at what Daniel purposed in his heart. Purposed in his heart, I'm going to follow God, and that's step one. Remember, we have to purpose in our heart, we're going to follow God, and then we talked about how we have to take action in order to follow through with purpose of heart. And then God gives the power after we take action to do that. And so now we get into, again, the situation of Daniel being faithful to the Lord. And we're going to see today the reward that comes with being faithful. And you need to understand, faithfulness is so important to God. It's more important than anything else. I mean, I won't say than anything else because obviously salvation, but faithfulness is one of the top things that God looks for in the believer's life. It is way more important than good works or simply following rules, if you will. And why is that? Well, because good works does indeed show kindness, and that's a pleasant thing to the Lord. It's a blessing, if you will. But faithfulness and obedience shows the heart. And what God wants is a heart that follows him, a heart that loves him, and a heart that'll be faithful. And God rewards the faithful heart. And let me say this, you don't always see the reward overnight. Sometimes you're faithful to the Lord and you see the rewards are delayed, but you will be rewarded if you are faithful to the Lord. Samuel said to Saul in 1 Samuel 15:22, Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. In other words, it's rather than doing all the sacrifices and all the religious things and the outward things, I would rather have your heart. I'd rather you be obedient to my commands and what I'm asking you to do, because that's what's pleasing to the Lord. And yet it's oftentimes so hard for God to find someone who is truly faithful. Now, I know in a room full of believers, some of you, many of you are truly faithful. And God may convict some of you today, maybe I've not been as faithful as I should be. And that's where you can take that to the Lord and say, God, please forgive me now and make me faithful. And we're going to talk about that today and even pray about that before we're done. But God is looking for faithful hearts. And it's hard to find a truly faithful heart. And I'm convinced that if you don't make up your mind you're going to be faithful before the test comes, you're not going to pass the test. You've got to make up your mind right now, I'm going to be faithful. You've got to know, where do I draw a line in the sand? What will I do? What will I not do? Where am I going to fight my battles, etc.? And so this is where we're going to see Daniel works all that out today, and God blesses him richly because of that, as well as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they were the faithful. God found them faithful, Daniel being that main example. And it's interesting, you think about, the Lord said, when I come back, will I find faithfulness on the earth? Will I find the faithful? How much faith will I find? So we see that it's something God looks for, and that oftentimes it's hard for God to find. You look at situations in the Old Testament where God is about to judge the nation. And God says, is there anybody faithful? If you can find anyone, he told Jeremiah. He said, Jeremiah, go about the city. If you can find anyone faithful, I won't judge it. Just go about the city and find. And the sad thing is he couldn't find anyone faithful, so God had to judge the nation of Israel. So you can see faithfulness is not just something God desires. It's something that's hard to find. And that's why as we go through this today, we need to challenge ourselves. Am I really faithful? Now, probably if I asked each one of you individually, now, not all of you would say it. Some of you would be honest and say, well, no, I'm not really being faithful. Some of you would just come out and say it because you know the truth and you would just say it. But many of you might say, yes, I'm being faithful, but there'd be that little thing in the back of your mind going, you know, maybe not completely. Why? Because it's hard to get purely faithful unless we make that all-out commitment to Jesus Christ. But this is where the Lord wants us to be. And if you're already saying right now, before we even get to the, you know, some of the meat of the passage we're looking at today, oh my goodness, I'm not really that faithful or whatever, be encouraged. God knows we're weak. And if you simply admit to God, I'm not where I need to be, I've not been faithful, I'm not being faithful, God help me, then the Bible says God will help you to be faithful. He will give you what you need to do that. Now, as I said, we left off last week with Daniel purposing in his heart not to defile himself with the world. We saw it as the king's delicacies. And Daniel, again, drew a line in the sand. And what's interesting about this, though, is that although Daniel drew a line in the sand here on this essential that he felt, I can't do this or I'll defile myself before God, and we'll get into more reasons why a little bit later, something else I want you to note about Daniel, which is a great life lesson for us. Daniel was willing to be quiet about non-essential issues and make a stand when he needed to about the essential issues. That is so key for us in our workplace, in our unsafe family, unsafe friends, around whatever the case might be. We have to know, when do we draw the line and how do we draw the line, which we'll get into as we look at today, but we need to know when to speak and we need to know when to be quiet. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't always speak vocally and be a witness. It just means that sometimes we don't say it a certain way, and maybe sometimes we remain quiet because we recognize it wouldn't be received right now. Now, again, I've heard this saying before, and it sounds spiritual and sounds important or whatever. People say, well, you know, preach the gospel, and if you have to, use words. And while that sounds really nifty and kind of catchy and all that's good, that's unbiblical. The Bible doesn't say ever to be silent about your witness. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, use words always. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. And so it's the opposite of that. You're not to remain silent. It sounds clever, but it's actually the reverse of what the Great Commission tells us to do. However, there is a balance in that, and that is sometimes we need to know what to say and when, and sometimes we don't say anything at all. And I appreciate this about Daniel because his maturity, he chose the things, he chose his battles, and he chose his stands wisely. And you've got to remember, this was a teenager that was committed to God. So if God can give wisdom like this to a teenager, God can give this wisdom to us. And that is, Daniel didn't walk around the palace pointing out everyone's sin and how they were disobeying the Bible. He wasn't the guy at work every day saying, you're not obeying the Bible, we're not following the Bible, you're not doing this. Daniel was just living the Bible out. He lived it. He spoke it at the right time. They knew where Daniel's stand was. He wasn't shy about the gospel, but he didn't try to cram it down everyone's throat. And then he just lived a godly life in front of everyone around him, and God used it. And then when he needed to make a stand, he made a stand. And that's what I appreciate about Daniel. And again, the important principle here, and this would probably be really the first principle I would try to drive home to us this morning, and that is this: we should never try to force those around us to obey the Bible or accept our viewpoints. Simply live it out and then make the stands where we need to make them. And let me encourage you on something. Look, you can't expect an office full of unsaved people to follow the Bible and then get mad when they don't, you know? When I'm around unbelievers, I expect them to use foul language. I expect that. I'm not going to go around correcting everyone. Now, again, there's times if you're a good enough friend to someone, you can say, you know, really, that's kind of like offensive to me. You wouldn't say it. I'm not saying you can't. In certain times, you know your crowd. You know the people you can say it to. You know the people that respect you. I find it interesting that most of the time, if people know you're a Christian and the foul language starts coming out, they'll stop and apologize. Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't realize, you know, I wasn't thinking here. I know you're a Christian. You know why they do that? Because you're not doing anything but being salt. You're salt and light. And the moment darkness starts flying around, darkness gets convicted. And so darkness goes, whoa, 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 whoa. And just even unbelievers know it. They go, I shouldn't be doing that, right? So it kind of takes care of itself oftentimes. But even when it doesn't, you don't need to be so concerned about it. Realize, expect the world to sin. They're sinners. You've been forgiven. You know better now. Now you be a witness to them. And don't try to make them live the way you live. Simply show them how. And be that example. Daniel did it. How many times have we seen Christians trying to force the Bible on unbelievers around them? And I think oftentimes it's well-meaning young Christians like I have done in the past. And you try to basically, you know, push, you know, the Bible on people that can't really receive the Bible because they don't even know God. And all this typically does is drive people away from the gospel. But if you simply shine the light and you live it and then you make the stands at the right times, it draws people in. And so that's what we're to do. We're to draw them in, not drive them away. And Daniel, again, knew the difference between standing on the things in the office that were essential and not standing on the things in the office that were not essential. And so, you know, again, you're living for the Lord, and the whole, you know, staff gets together. Hey, we're having this big drinking party after us. Come on, Mark, come with us, you know. And that's the time where you have to make a stand. But here's the way you do it. You know, sir, you know, I can't believe you, a bunch of sinners or whatever. You're not going to do that, I know. But you don't want to do something rude. We'll see how Daniel did this more in a moment. But it's like, no, you guys go ahead. You know, why not? Why don't you come with us? You know, that's just not really my thing. I'm not really involved in that. Well, they'll know why. They'll know why. If you've shared your faith, they know who you are. And if they push it, you can just say, hey, look, I'm a believer. I follow the Lord, and I don't really, you know, it's nothing, you know, I'm not trying to attack you guys for that, but that's not really who I am. So I think I'll just miss tonight or whatever. And you, a lot of times you do that, you think, well, they're going to not like me. No, that gains respect for you. And it shines a light and a testimony like you wouldn't believe. And so this was Daniel. Daniel could have made a lot of noise in the palace. He could have walked around pointing out all of their sins and all the things they were not doing that were biblical. But Daniel realized, I'm living among a bunch of people that are unsaved. They have different gods. They don't understand the Bible. My job is simply to live for my God, be a witness, be a testimony, share as God opens the door, and then make the stands that I need to make when it's time to make them. And today was a day to make a stand for Daniel. And that's where we take up here, starting in verse 9, after we see that Daniel purposed in his heart that he wouldn't defile himself with the king's delicacies. Notice what it says in verse 9. It says, now God had brought Daniel into favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. So Daniel makes a request. I can't eat this food. And again, remember the reasons why. Number one, a lot of this was food that God forbid for them to eat, like pork and things like that. Also, it hadn't been Levitically bled, which again, they couldn't eat food unless it was bled a certain way under the Jewish Levitical law. And lastly, these meats had been offered to their gods. And so Daniel's saying, look, I can't partake of this on a number of levels, but I don't want to, I need to make a stand. I want to do it the right way. And what's good about this, it says that God had already set the groundwork because the life that Daniel was living, he brought him into good favor. Notice that he brought him into good favor, or rather favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs, which as we know was Ashpenaz. Now, it's important to note here that it says that God brought Daniel into good favor. I want you to note that. It wasn't that Daniel earned the good favor, although no doubt his, you know, the way he handled himself helped a lot, but God did it. And why did God do it? Because Daniel was faithful. And here's another thing, another principle we need to learn. We need to understand that when we are faithful to the Lord, God will give us peace even with our enemies, the Bible says. God will give us favor with those around us. Those of you that may be struggling in your workplace or struggling with your family or wherever you're interacting because of the way things are around you, if you'll be faithful to the Lord, God will be faithful to move in their hearts, maybe not to be your buddy or your best friend, but to be at peace. And I've watched God do that in my life. I've watched God do that in other people's lives. And we need to understand that God will do the same thing for us. And so there are a couple of words here, though, as God moved in Ashpenaz's heart that I want to point out, as God was now, again, opening a way for Daniel to be able to make the stand in the proper way. And the first word here is the word favor, and the second word here is the words here are goodwill. These are very interesting words because favor here is the word chesed, which means a loving kindness and mercy done by the giver, Ashpenaz, with no obligation, in other words, wanting nothing back, and is due to a caring relationship. So the word reveals that Ashpenaz and Daniel had developed a caring relationship. Now, how did that happen? Here's Daniel, this Jew that's been taken captive and brought to a foreign land. Here's Ashpenaz, one of the right-hand men to the king, and now they're in favor with each other and loving each other. Why is that? Because God moved in hearts. And no doubt, Ashpenaz had great mercy on Daniel. Think about the situation Daniel was in, but it was Daniel's faithfulness here, I believe, that was a big factor in this, in bringing him into favor with Ashpenaz. Now, the second word is goodwill will bear this out even more, but before I look at that, what about the word faithful? What does faithful mean? If we're saying we need to be faithful to God and be faithful like Daniel was, the word faithful means adhering strictly to a person, cause, or idea to which one is bound. That is, an idea, a cause, or a person that you're linked to, being faithful. You're linked to them, and there's a relationship. And that relationship is bound because there's a faithfulness. There's a commitment to each other, if you will. Daniel was committed that way, and Daniel had made himself available to Ashpenaz to be committed to Ashpenaz in serving him under the king in that way, and Ashpenaz to Daniel as well. And it's interesting here, the other words, goodwill, that are used here to talk about Ashpenaz's heart for Daniel, it's the word rakam, and it means this. And listen to what it reveals about Ashpenaz's heart toward Daniel. And I'll tell you why I believe that was in just a moment. But it means a deep love, usually from one in a superior position. He was over Daniel, his direct authority over him, supervisor, if you will, spurred on by the helpless condition of the one being loved. Helpless condition. Why would Ashpenaz look at Daniel as helpless? Daniel was not helpless at all, but what was it that gave him that kind of caring and merciful heart? Well, again, look at the situation. First of all, he's a teenager brought out of his home to a brand new home. His parents probably put to death and or slavery by this time, coming from the kingly line and being conquered by Babylon. He's now going to be a lifelong servant to the king there in Babylon, losing his life. He's been made a eunuch, which we talked about how horrible that would have been in that day, not just the physical and emotional trauma that would have been to your life, but then knowing also you could never have a wife or children for the rest of your life. And Ashpenaz was the same way. He was farther down the road, but he was the chief of the eunuchs, no doubt a eunuch himself. He knew what Daniel had gone through. He understood the trauma. He understood the pain. He understood all these things happening. And rather than being hard and cold, he had a compassionate heart. And he saw Daniel and said, this little teenager, I mean, this guy's coming in. He just took him in. He loved him. But God moved in Ashpenaz's heart to do this. That's the key thing to note here. It was God that moved in his heart that made him do it. And this is what you need to understand. When you find yourself in a helpless situation or where you've been beat up or life has just run you through the ringer, if you will remain faithful to God, even in extreme conditions like Daniel did, God will raise up people around you that love you and will invest in you. Even superiors in your life, maybe at work, maybe beyond that. I remember in Nashville when I gave my life to the Lord. And again, I was in Nashville. I didn't have anybody around me. Look, all of my friends, pretty much when I gave my life to the Lord, you know, it wasn't like the Middle East where people get rejected, but my family just kind of, you know, I was kind of like shunned. I was kind of just pretty radical, pretty, you're this Jesus freak, stay away or whatever. And so it kind of lost all relationship with my family as far as that goes, which has gotten better over the years. But either way, it was gone for many years in essence, if you will. And literally, I lost pretty much all of my friends. Why? Because I was in the party scene. I was playing in the clubs in Nashville. That's what I was pursuing as a life. So all of my friends were the party crowd. And when I got saved, I realized not only was I not like them anymore, there wasn't anything in common. I couldn't remain in that life. God was calling me now out of that into a whole new life. And so I had to cut off all of my friendships. Now, the good thing about that was it gave me an opportunity to go and share the gospel with all of them first, some here in Knoxville, some in Nashville. But then once I shared the gospel, they needed to understand why I wasn't going to be hanging out with them anymore. And so my life had changed. So it was able to be used as a ministry, if you will. But suddenly I found myself in Nashville, Tennessee with no one. Now, I'm not trying to say, oh, poor Mark. Don't misunderstand me. That wasn't how I felt. God was so overwhelming in my life. I was filled with the joy of the Lord. I'd just been recently saved. So God was making up more than the slack. But what I noticed God do is what I'm seeing God did here for Daniel. People just came out of the woodwork that wanted to love on me. I was invited to homes. I was all kinds of things. I was like, all these people took me in. I'm like, oh my goodness, what are they doing? And I look back now, they're probably going, poor kid, he needs help, right? And I see that. You know, I can. When you see somebody that needs help, you have that heart, you want to bring him in. But guys, it was God that did that. And if you're here this morning going, I feel so alone. I've got nobody in my life. It's the holidays, and somebody that I really loved died around this time. And I think about it every year. Look, the sorrow is real, but so is God. And God will send, if you cry out to God and say, God, I need you to comfort me. I feel so alone, so whatever. You watch God. He'll begin to bring people around you and to love on you. Now, you need to put yourself in a place where you can be loved. If you're not involved in fellowship, if you're not putting yourself around people, that can't happen. But God will do it. And God was faithful to do that in my life. God was faithful here to do that for Daniel. And again, the whole word bears this out. It's this compassion that God puts in the heart of those around us when they see the need that we have. It's God that's doing it. And the bottom line is, in this verse, we see that God moved in the heart of the people and the authorities in Daniel's life to give him kind, loving care during this horribly difficult time. And God will do the same thing for you. But again, remember, why did God do that? Because Daniel was faithful. And it didn't matter how extreme. Again, if anybody had an excuse, we talked about this, if anybody had an excuse to blame God, you took my parents, you took me from my home, you had some horrible physical surgery done to me that not only ruined any chance of physical pleasure with a female in my life, I'll never be married, I'll never have kids, I'm going to be a slave in this palace the rest of my life. If anybody had an excuse to go before God and be mad, it was Daniel. And yet Daniel said, you're the Lord and I love you and I trust you and I know you're going to use all this in my life, because he was faithful. He committed to the Lord. And so this is a lesson that we see in Daniel's life. This is only done by the power of the Spirit. But God makes this kind of power available for those of us that cry out and say, God, I need you to do it. And so notice this. He has this favor. He has this Ashpenaz showing this compassion and this love to him. But notice what it does here. Daniel needs to make a stand. The problem is, in Daniel's stand, it puts Ashpenaz in a tough spot. And we're going to see that Daniel recognizes that and realizes he needs to love Ashpenaz as well and be concerned about what his stand is going to do. By the way, it's good to make a stand for God, but we need to recognize how that affects people around us. How's that stand going to affect the rest of the office? How's that stand going to affect your family? How's that stand going to affect whatever you do in any type of situation? You need to be aware that God loves those people you're affecting by your stand as well, and you need to be pray how to minister to them. Notice what happens. Look at verse 10. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear the Lord my king. Again, remember, Nebuchadnezzar had a reputation. We're going to see later on, if you didn't do what he said, he burned your house down and cut you up in pieces. He's not the kind of guy you want to disappoint. He said, I fear the Lord the king, who's appointed your food and your drinks, and my job is to make sure you're healthy. For why should he see your faces looking worse than the young men who are of your age? Then you would endanger my head before the king. Now, a couple things to note here. First of all, notice, and again, even though Ashpenaz's heart was toward Daniel, if you make a stand for the Lord, this is what's going to happen, at least at some point in your stands. There's going to be those around you that say, look, why don't you just go along? Why do you have to be the only one in the office that won't fill in the blank?
Thank you for tuning in to today's edition of Come to the Table with Pastor Mark Kirk. Lately, he's been bringing us God's Word from the book of Daniel, where we see how to faithfully serve God and pursue an attitude of hope, even when there seems to be no light at the end of the tunnel. The path to following Christ isn't always clear, and we may sometimes go off on rabbit trails, but we can trust in the provision of God. He walks with us. He doesn't leave us. And like Daniel, we can stand straight and tall in the sovereignty of Jesus. If you're a local of Knoxville or neighboring towns, would you consider joining us for upcoming service? We have a variety of days and times we gather together in worship. All the information, such as service times and where to find us, is online at thewaymedia.net. Being a part of a body of believers is essential for not only strengthening your relationship with Jesus, but also for accountability. We need to be in a community that supports us in chasing after heavenly things and denying worldly temptations. We look forward to personally meeting you and spending time together. Remember, that website is thewaymedia.net. On that same site are links to enhance your faith. And we trust you'll take time to explore each one. Our time is about up for now, but before we go, we want to say thank you for all of our listeners' support of this ministry as we band together in the name of Jesus to bring hope to a dark nation. We also covet your prayers for this ministry so that we can reach as many people as possible. Be sure to listen again as Pastor Mark brings more teaching here on Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.